and 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. And we'll look here in a verse of Scripture too, in the Word of God, and bring you a message this morning that I believe will be a help to us. In the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. I want to invite you to service. Be back tonight. We have a big crowd on Sunday night. Had great services, good singing. Choir will be singing, and we're looking forward to it. And so don't miss tonight, okay? All right. All right. Everybody find your seat now. Settle down, and let's get in the Word of God this morning. Now, what I want to do this morning, I preached every Thanksgiving sermon, I guess, for 29 years in a row. And every time, I guess, there probably might have been an exception there, normally I'd preach a message on why we should be thankful. Why we should be thankful. Now, I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to do something, preach different than I ever have on Thanksgiving Sunday, or the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And you'll get it in just a minute. So I've never preached this before like this, and actually I've never heard anybody else do it. But this morning, I'm going to preach on I'm thankful for some things that I don't have. I'm thankful for some things that I don't have. You say, well, we're always supposed to come and say, thank God for my church, and thank God for my this and that. Well, I'm going to get to that, but let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 this morning. Look at verse number 4. You know what Paul said to these people? He said, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God. It's ringing just a hair, brother, just a hair. Which is given you by Jesus Christ. That everything ye are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. So that ye come behind in no gift. Waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that thought in mind this morning, verse 4 said, I thank God. I'm going to talk about being thankful for what I don't have. And you say, well, Brother Danny, we ought to be thankful for all the blessings God put on us. That's true. That's true. And I am. I am. But I'm thankful this morning that I ain't got some things. And I'm going to name a few of them to you this morning, and I believe you would agree with me if you're a Christian, love truth and love God. And I want to say, first of all, this morning, I'm thankful that I don't have a mummy for a Savior. Yeah. I'm glad that I don't have a mummy for a Savior. I thank God for that. Thank God we ain't got a mummy. You say, what's a mummy? Somebody's been dead for 100 years or 1,000 years or 2,000 years. Did you know, if you were a Buddhist and you went to a Buddhist temple, I talked to somebody the other day, I can't remember who it was, must have been somebody in Florida, somebody I witnessed to. I was giving out tracts, and I give this lady one. It might have been an airport, that's where it was. And she said, I'm Hindu. And I got thinking about, what if we're a Buddhist? If you were a Buddhist this morning, you could go somewhere in this world and they would have the bones or the ashes or the remains of Buddha. There it is. There's Buddha. Look what his belief got him. Look where it got him. There's Buddha. He's nothing but a pile of ashes. And he's mummified. If you were a Muslim this morning, they talk about even the presidents are talking about being a Muslim in a positive light. It's a good religion, you know, and it's just these fanatics that are blowing up buildings and stuff. I want to tell you something this morning. It's not a good religion. It's not a good religion for the ones that are not fanatics blowing up buildings. It's a bad religion. You know why? Because their Savior is a mummy. If you found Muhammad's bones this morning or ashes, you would only find that's all it would be. Muhammad, can you help me? Get the dust rag and wash Muhammad off that thing right there. He's gone back to the dust. Amen. Get the pledge and spray on his casket and wipe him off. That's all Muhammad is dust. He's a mummy. I'm telling you, in some of them great big giant Catholic churches, they have Pope somebody, and fellas is too poop to pope. I tell you, they're gone. They've been gone for hundreds of years. They got some of them, give me down just a hair, brother. Watch me now. And you put them in these glass caskets, and they put these glass, and there they are. If you open them caskets and the air hit them, it just blow, dust will just fly everywhere. But I'm glad this morning that my Savior, and I'm thankful this morning, I don't have a mummy for my Savior. My Savior this morning is alive and well. He is just as much alive, more alive than any of us in here this morning. He can talk. He can hear. I can talk to Jesus Christ right now. I did just a while ago. Over there in my office, I got down and I prayed. In my bedroom this morning before I came to church, I got down like this. I said, "Dear Lord," and He said, "Yes, yes, son, what can I do?" I'm thankful I don't have a mummy for a Savior. I'm glad we have a living Savior. I'm glad we have, He's a living Christ. He's a living, resurrected Christ. That's supposed to be an Easter message. That's pretty good for Thanksgiving. He arose. He arose. He come up out of the grave. Hallelujah. And He's alive this morning. Do you realize this morning that you can get out of your seat, walk down here, and talk to Jesus Christ, and He'll hear you? Do you realize that today? Isn't that a privilege? Ain't you glad? I would hate to be in a religion. I'd hate to be in a religion that says, "Well, we're going to come this morning and study the teachings of Buddha." Buddha was me, this I know. He dead and gone, far as I know. You know, I'd hate to have a religion like that. That'd be pitiful. You know, what are we going to do? We're going to be dead and gone just like He is. And Buddha's in hell if He didn't get saved. And Muhammad's in hell if He didn't get saved. He's just an old mummified religion. But I'm so glad and so thankful this morning you can walk out of your seat, get down here on this altar, say, "Dear Jesus." And them words go past that ceiling, go past the clouds, go past the stars, go past the planets, right into the very throne room of God Almighty, and right to the throne of God, where Jesus sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for every child of God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. You know what? Well, you know what I got to be thankful for this morning? I'm thankful I don't have a mummy for a Savior. I'm glad my Savior is alive. The more I'm talking about Islam on TV, the more thankful I am I'm a Christian. I'd hate to have a religion where the founder was dead. Did you know this morning that you could be a good Buddhist with Buddhist bones sitting in front of you? You can be a good Muslim with Muhammad's bones sitting in front of you. But if you had Jesus Christ's bones, you can't be a Christian. There are no Christians if you can find His bones. You can't find His fingernail, brother. You can't find His toenail. He got up from the grave. Up from the grave He rose with a mighty triumph over His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. I'm glad of that this morning. Let me give you a thought right here, and I'm going to hurry on. They said, Billy Sunday gave this illustration. He said there's a great big steam liner crossing the Atlantic many, many years ago. And he said during the course of this thing sprung a leak in one of the compartments down below, and the water was just pouring in. And he got all the men together, and they got their pumps going. You know, them big ships have pumps. And a storm came, blew the lifeboats away. And the captain got up. He said, "An 8 hours." And he said, "We're going to be on the bottom in 8 hours." And so everybody started putting them pumps going, and there's a pumping that water out, but it was running in faster than they could run out, than they could get it out, pump it out. And they said, "In 8 hours, this ship's going to be on the bottom." He said, "Is anybody brave enough to go down there and plug the hole?" They didn't know how big the hole was, way down in there, underwater in the bottom of that ship, and nobody would do it. Finally, a young man stood up. He said, "Captain," who was also his daddy. He was the son of the captain of the ship. He said, "I'll go, Father, if you'll let me." And it gave me a bunch of burlap and rags. That's all they had. And that boy dove down through them cold waters and swam down to the bottom of that boat and took those rags and plugged up that hole. And he plugged it up. There was still some water coming in, but not near as much. And it saved them. The next day, the ship docked safely at shore, and everybody was fine, and everybody was happy. But the young man lost his life. And that young man lost his life, and brother, they gave his life, but everybody on the ship was saved. And I thought about that story, and I thought, glory to God, hallelujah. One day, this old world sprung a ship. This old ship sprung a world. And people getting up and walking out and getting off my train of thought. Don't nobody else get up, please. In, out, stay down. Stay down. You too. Stay down. Everybody just stay down. It's one demon gets in one person, it starts getting in everybody. And so stay down. Everybody be real still. And anyway, I thought about that time when the Lord came down and that old plug needed to be plugged. That old sin, brother, was drowning us all. But he said, Father, I'll go. And the Father sent him down here. He plugged up the hole. He lost his life in the meantime. But thank God he took it up again. I'm glad of a mummy for a Savior. But I want to say secondly this morning, you listen to me? I'm glad I don't have a mummy for a Savior. I'm glad I don't have a monkey for a mother. Amen. How did I get out loud? I'm glad, thank God, I don't have a monkey for a mother. My mother is not a monkey. And my daddy wasn't either. And my grandpa wasn't. And Now, your kinfolks might have swung by their tail from a tree, but mine didn't. I mean, you know your kinfolk better than I do. But listen, we didn't come from a monkey. Boys and girls, we did not come from a monkey. No way. My mama wasn't a monkey. Now, some of my kinfolks in West Virginia but might have swung from their neck, but none of them didn't swing from their tail. They didn't have no tails. Amen. And I'm glad, brother, I didn't have a monkey for my mother. The Bible said that Eve was the mother of all living. Ain't that what your Bible said? Eve was the mother of all living. All these TV shows, these documentaries, them History Channel, Discovery Channel, them things are wicked, man. The Learning Channel, they'll make you think your mama was a monkey. And that's why kids in school now are acting like monkeys. They're taught to come one who puts these little charts up on the wall at school, and they'll show you kids here a little monkey. Here a little bigger monkey. Here a little bit bigger monkey. Here's a little bit bigger monkey. Here's a little bit bigger monkey. Here's a little bit bigger monkey. And then finally, there's a man standing here. And they'll make you think way, way back yonder that your mama and mama's was monkey. And again, that's a come. I heard a guy down there on C-SPAN. They have this thing on C-SPAN when I was in Florida. And it was a guy giving a lecture up at some college near Lynchburg, Virginia. Not Falwell's, but there were some kids from Falwell's there. And buddy, that old guy, he was wicked. He wrote a book called The God Delusion. And it's out now, and he was lecturing on that, and he was slamming. He said, I don't understand how anybody in their right mind could believe in intelligent design. He said, how anybody could believe there's a God is beyond me. He said, well, it couldn't have started out great and got here. His whole mind was backwards. He was so full of the devil, his thinking was turned around wrong. He said, it started out little, and it's gradually got up to where we are now. That's crazy. It started out big, and then down. They don't believe in the fall, don't believe in the Bible. But I'm glad this morning that my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother did not have a tail, and she had little lips, and she had skin and hair, and she didn't have hair. Although I don't believe Eve looked like a gorilla. I mean, Adam fell in love with her first day they met. I mean, of course, she was the only woman in the world. I'm telling you, I don't believe she had hair. I don't believe she had a beard and hair all over her back. I don't believe it. She was, Lord, have mercy, no, people. Our mother wasn't a monkey, thank God. I'm telling you, all them old Darwiniacs, they're a cult, them Darwiniacs. They believe in that old false religion of evolution. Nothing ever got here by itself. They had to be made. Now, that's only two explanations there are for the world being here. Either it got here by itself or somebody made it. There ain't no other explanation. It either got here by itself or somebody made it. And all them planets and all the stars and the human brain and our ears and our eyes, you honestly think it could have just happened by itself? What did we used to be? Like way down here, we was a tadpole. And then the tadpole said, you know what? I believe we could do better if we stand up. And the mama tadpole said, what's stand up mean? Well, you know, grow legs. What's legs? Nobody else ain't got legs. Nobody ain't never seen no leg. Concentrate, honey. Next time you have a baby, just believe it'll have legs. And sure enough, it turned into a frog. And the frog hopped out of the swamp and got up a land. And doggone feet didn't grow a tail and wound up getting in coconut trees. Getting up there swinging out all of them trees. You listen, brother. You have got rocks in your head if you believe that happened all by itself. Thank God, God made Adam. God made Eve. And Eve's our mother, not a monkey. Say amen right there. I'm thankful this morning that I don't have a monkey for my mother. Amen. I've been to the Grand Canyon. And you know what they say? The Colorado River carved out the Grand Canyon. That's crazy. Impossible. You ought to see that thing. It's 6 miles across some places. And about 30-something miles long. It's a ditch like you ain't never seen in your life. And they say, where'd that come from? Well, I know where it come from. The flood made it. God drowned the world with a flood like the Bible said. That's why there's fish fossils up on top of them mountains. You know, them scientists have a hard time with that. They say, around the world, them fish get on top of them mountains and all of them crushed. And it shows evidence of all those creatures dying at once, at one time. That's something to think about. You know, that rock strata? You know, they have this rock strata and they'll say, this layer of rock is 100 million years. This layer of rock is 200 million years. This layer of rock is 900 million years. And they find trees in them things. Right through them rock stratas. The same tree. The same tree is from right in them rock stratas. That's supposed to be 100 million years, not 200 million years. They say, oh, yeah. They don't like to talk about stuff like that. They say dinosaurs lived 65 million years ago, and they found dinosaur footprints in Glen Rose, Texas, right beside a man's footprints. Or his shack, or somebody out there walking around a long time ago. I mean, big old feet like that. Now, I've seen others with some big feet. I've seen some in the airport with some big feet. Big old feet. Look like that. But I'm telling you, it ain't like them dinosaurs. They're like, you know, this fellow's blind. This old blind man went to church and he prayed for everybody and loved the Lord. Well, this guy wore a 22 size shoe. Size 22. And boy, that thing was about that long. And one night that man got under conviction, went down and got down praying at the altar. And that blind man went down there and got him, put his hand on his, and said, Lord, bless these two little fellers. That's the way it was. But I'll tell you something, brother. Listen, you know something? That dinosaurs had big old feet. And it shows a man's feet right in the same rock strata as a dinosaur. Dinosaurs didn't live that many years ago. I'm glad, brother, that my mother wasn't a monkey. I'm thank God this... I mean, go to your Thanksgiving dinner this evening, and they're going to say, now we should all be thankful. What should we be thankful for? Look at me, mama. I'm glad you wasn't a monkey. Hey, man, I'm glad you're my mama. Servant, take an atheist, you know. Take an atheist a good meal and then ask him if he believes there was a cook. That's right. It's a nice meal just evolved all by itself. Heated itself up, corn cooked itself, steak fried itself, everything. No, sir, brother. I'm glad. I'm thankful this morning that my mother was not a monkey. Amen. Well, let me say also, number three this morning. I'm glad. I'm thankful that I don't have a myth for a Bible. I don't have a myth for a Bible. You know what I'm thankful for this morning? I'm thankful that we don't go to a Jehovah Witness, Latter-day Saint, kind of an old myth where we got some old Jehovah book that is a myth. Amen. I'm glad. You say, preacher, it doesn't preach against other people's religion. That shows how much you know about preaching. A man who won't preach about Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons and cult ain't even called to preach. I'm glad I ain't sitting in a Mormon temple this morning reading the old dead Book of Mormon full of lies. And the Book of Mormon is a myth. It's a myth. That's a lie. Now, I'm telling you what. You say, well, Brother Danny, I think we should all respect all religions and all religions lead to the same place. You're crazy too, brother. Somebody's wrong. Somebody's wrong. That Book of Mormon talks about stuff that don't even exist. Oh, Joe Smith went out there and sent the angel Moroni. He said Moroni the angel appeared to him and gave him all them golden plates. Nobody ever seen them golden plates. They didn't put them in a shrine. Now, what did he do with them golden plates? Golden plates, come on now. Ain't nobody ever seen them. Nobody's ever found them. Come on now. Nobody ever seen them but Joe. And he went out there one day and Moroni appeared to him. And Moroni said, sit down, Joe. And Moroni gave him the baloney. And brother, I'm telling you, he loaded him up. And he come back to town. He come back to town saying, I done had a vision. And the Mormon church began. And brother, they've been propagating those lies ever since then. The Mormon church teaches that Jesus and the devil were brothers. The Mormon church teaches, listen to this, the Mormon church teaches, as you are, God once was. As God is, you may become. That means, ain't that right, brother? Brother Derek, they say you can become God. That every one of us, you know what the Mormon church teaches? That every one of us men are going to wind up with our own solar system being over it like God, populating planets just like God's doing this one. And you're going to rule your own solar system. And the Mormon church teaches all you ladies will be eternally pregnant, giving birth to spirit children. You say, Lord, that's it. I ain't going to heaven. Amen. If I'm going to be pregnant forever. That's what they're teaching. That's what the Mormon church... You know what that is? That's a myth. That's a myth. That's a bunch of junk, brother. I'm thankful this Thanksgiving that I ain't got a myth for a Bible. Amen. You know that Jehovah's Witness church, it teaches a bunch of junk. Teaches a bunch of lies. It's a myth. Mary Baker Patterson Glover Eddy, how her husband's named, started the Christian Science movement. Poor old dumb Tom Cruise, Tom Cat, didn't even have enough sense to know which religion is right. He's got a myth for a Bible. I'm glad this morning, brother, we've got the King James 1611 book and that we can depend on every single word in this book. Thank God! I'm thankful this morning for Thanksgiving week that I don't have a myth for a Bible. I'm glad, brother, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, said, and we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. It's inspired by divine inspiration. It's infallible. There's not a mistake in it. There's not a mistake in this book. It's all true. It's indestructible. There's 39 books in the Old Testament. There's 27 books in the New Testament. This book, brother, is so far ahead of that old dumb Koran, it ain't even funny. I'm glad I don't have a myth for a Bible. I'm thankful today that my Bible's true and I depend on what the Bible says. Oh, I ain't got time to get into all that this morning about the Word of God. But I'm glad. You know how you know the Bible's true and the Koran ain't? Because the Bible's the only book in the world that can predict the future thousands of years ahead of time and get it right every time. Every time. The Koran wouldn't even attempt to do that. The writings of Confucius wouldn't even start to convict. Oh, you got somebody like Edgar Casey or somebody to come out. They'll come out with something like, and this shall be happening and that shall be happening in times of trouble. And somebody will say, oh, he's talking about the World Trade Center. You know, nah, the Bible nails it down. Bible puts it in detail. 700 years before he was born, he'll be born of the tribe of Judah. His mother will be a virgin. He's going to be born in the town of Bethlehem. He'll make his grave with the wicked. 700 years before it ever happened. He nailed it. What town the Savior would be born in. Listen, people, that's proof. That's absolute proof that the Bible is the Word of God. And God is in heaven right now. God's up there saying, that's right, son, tell it. Is that the best you can do? Preach, Danny. And I'm saying, Lord, I'm doing the best I can. Help me. I'm telling you this morning, I'm glad we don't have a myth for a Bible, ain't you? Hallelujah. Well, all these are sermons in themselves. I'm just telling you what I'm not thankful for this morning. I'm thankful for what I don't have. I'm glad I don't have a mummy for a Savior. I'm glad I don't have a monkey for a mummy. I'm glad I don't have a myth for a Bible. Number four, I'm glad I don't have a morgue for a church. Amen. Ain't you thankful that we don't have a morgue? You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Go to the average this morning, you'll know what I'm talking about. Good Lord. I don't see how some people stand where they go to church. Honest to goodness, I'd die. I'd die. You walk in there, you know what a morgue's like? You ever been to a funeral home? Oh, Lord, that's an awful spirit. You walk in there, everybody just sitting there like this. You got this old spooky organ music playing. Oh, man. And that guy always steps out behind there like he's like Dracula or somebody. Them dudes, I mean, somebody's got to do it. I would not want that job. Something weird about them people working there. They always come out and say, hi. They're looking at you like, I'm going to get you next. I always think they're looking at me like that. Oh, here's a good prospect. When they come out and shake your hand, it's real cold, and they say, we're the last to let you down. You know, I'm telling you, man, that's a spooky feeling. And you walk in there and you got this organ music playing, somebody going, and everybody just sitting in there like, you walk in. Good to see you. God bless you. All of a sudden, like, okay, boy, right. Everybody in there to have a heart attack. I'm telling you, man, that, who likes that? There's something wrong. I know people that every time anybody dies, they just go down there and hang around. I don't go unless I have to. I'm telling you, I can't stand it. I can't stand to be around a funeral home. That's an awfulest feeling. You can feel demons or something. I don't know. I remember one time I took a trip to California and Carrie and Todd, was it Carrie? You and Todd went with me? Or somebody else? They wanted to go to California real bad. Never been to California, I don't reckon, at that time. And boy, I mean, they wanted to go to California real bad, so we went. We stayed out there with the preacher, and Carrie and Todd wasn't married. And so we stayed out, so I said, well, y'all know y'all can't stay together. He can go, but I said, y'all, you know, they can't stay together. We didn't have nowhere for him to stay. And the preacher worked at the funeral home. So he put him, he said, do you mind sleeping in the funeral home? Ain't that what it was? Something like that. Or did. And he slept in there. Oh, man, I don't know. Boy, I'd be afraid I'd have got down in there real comfortable. Felt something cold. I'd have died, man. I'd have died. I'd have died right there. But he slept in the funeral home. I'm telling you what, Lord have mercy. I'm telling you, I'm glad I don't. And listen, but I've been to churches that felt just like that. I've been to churches where everybody just sits there like this. Got that same spooky music. Lord, I'm glad we ain't got a morgue for a church. I'm glad there's some amen still in the house of God. I'm glad there's still some hallelujah, some tears being shed, some people in the altar weeping, praying to God. Listen, buddy, hell ain't going to be quiet, and heaven ain't going to be quiet, and church shouldn't be quiet. I'm thankful that I don't have a morgue for a church. It's scriptural in doctrine and preaching. It's spirit-filled singing, praise, and power. And soul winning and the bus ministry. Amen? I'm glad, brother. I'm glad that there's some power in the house of God. And we have a bus ministry. Listen, if you're visiting here this morning, you are in the right place. You ought to be a part of a church that's got a buses. There's 174 of them here this morning. And these little boys and girls are worth every penny we spend on them. And gas is high and insurance is high. And them buses, them tires are high. But they're worth every penny we put into them. I'm glad we don't have a morgue for a church. They may not like me. They may not like us. We might not have the prettiest building in town. But thank God this ain't no funeral home. Amen. You know what you ought to do where funeral home people are? They're dead. I heard about them fanatics going out to them PlayStations yesterday. I heard about it in Florida, down there in Orlando. People was camping out. People was out there with guns, and somebody finally got in and got one, and so come out, they robbed them at gunpoint and stole their PlayStation. Oh, boy, wouldn't that be awful. And up north, hadn't somebody been killed? A couple of people been killed and people fighting over that. And listen, I saw just a little bit of the news. I was preaching every night, so I didn't really get to keep up with what was going on. But I saw a little bit on the news last night. People out there hooked up in tents. Average price, $1,500 for a PlayStation. And out there in tents, out there saying, I gotta have one. And they about us being fanatics. Because we go to church 3 times a week. You know, and it snowed and we had service. Oh, those people are overboard. Listen, them bunch of nuts are sleeping out in 30-degree weather in tent, 2 and 3 days, not eating or nothing for a stupid game, brother. Listen, I'm glad we don't have a morgue for a church. I'm glad we, you know what? Let me tell you something. I'm going to move on. I got to hurry. You know what? When people feel something because they believe something. You listen? David Gibbs said that one time. I never forgot it. He said, people feel something because they believe something. And if people don't ever feel nothing, it's because they don't believe nothing. If you believe it, it's going to be a produce a feeling. Fact, faith, feeling. I'm glad we don't have a morgue church. Number 5. I'll say this and we're done. I'm thankful this morning some things I don't have. I'm thankful we don't have a mummy for our Savior. We don't have a myth for a Bible. We don't have a monkey for our mother. We don't have a morgue for our church. And I'm thankful this morning we don't have a modernist for a pastor. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about my pastor right now. I mean, we still scream and holler. We still say ain't and still are redneck. And, here's what that preacher's not even supposed to show his sock. Crazy stuff like that. Well, who's looking at your socks anyway? They say a preacher is not ever supposed to mention anything negative. A preacher is never supposed to use the word hell. A preacher is never supposed to point his finger. Watch them guys on TV. I could name some names. They'll do this. And so we seek to please Christ. Watch them do that. You know why they do that? Because they're taught you ain't supposed to point your finger. Now, who in the world come up with something like that? They say, oh, it might offend somebody. Listen, brother, God didn't call us to win no popularity contest. God did not call us to please the multitude. I'm not up here tonight or this morning to say, I wonder if I can please you folks. And that's not why I'm here. Brother, I'm here to preach the Word of God, Spirit-filled, born again, Bible-believing, God-called. Thank God my pastor was not a modernist. I'll tell you the story of George Whitfield right quick and I'm through. George Whitfield was one of the greatest preachers this world's ever seen. And sometimes y'all ought to get them little books and study church history and learn about George Whitfield. They said, Lord, he can preach, you can hear him a country mile on a clear night. And they said, he come into this one little town and he's passing through and they said, no, you got to preach, George. He said, well, I'm headed over here to this other town. They said, preach for us, George. He preached that morning. And that evening he left, went through another little town. I'm just passing through. And they said, no, preach for us, George. And he preached again that evening. And he finally got to the town where he was at, and they said, preach, George! And he preached that evening. And finally that night, he was so tired traveling and preaching all day long that he went into an inn, like a motel, and got him a room. And he said he laid down and was almost asleep. And a crowd gathered down on the street, a couple of stories down, and he was out there saying, preach, George, preach! Preach, George, preach! And George Whitfield went to the window. And they said, some of us had to work late. We didn't hear you. Some of the men's been out in the field working all day. Didn't get to hear you. Preach, George. Preach. And he said, give me just a minute. George Whitfield went and lit a candle. And he said, could have said it on that one. He had preached for hours. So he'd preached till his throat would bleed. And he put that candle out and he preached to them people. And the people were standing there spellbound as the man of God preached the Word of God. And he said, preach till the light goes out. And he preached and preached and preached. Sure enough, the candle finally grew dim and started burning down. And he said, good night. And the next morning, they come to get him. And he knocked on his door and nobody come to the door. And they knocked on his door again and nobody come to the door. And they something was wrong. And they opened the door and pushed it open. And that was George Whitfield. Had died in the night and he was on his knees and beside him that little candle was burning. He said, I'll preach till the light burns out. And that's exactly what he did. Brother, he preached till the light went out. I think about my pastor. I think about Brother Ed McAbee down there this morning. I think about Mac Hodgson, Billy Kelly and Mays Jackson and Dr. Hiles and all them men that's already... Brother, they preached till the light went out. I'm glad I didn't have a modernist for a pastor. I'm glad I didn't have some little mealy-mouthed, compromising, Bible-denying hypocrite in the pulpit that didn't believe in the virgin birth and the blood of Jesus and the grace of God and forgiveness of sin. I'm thankful this Thanksgiving my pastor wasn't a modernist. There's a lot of things I'm thankful that I ain't got. How about you this morning? You start thinking, you start taking things for granted. You really do. You start thinking, well, I got this. There's a lot of people in the world ain't got.